The waves of the loch crash into the rocks underneath the bridge as you're walking towards the castle. The wind is strong and the rain is coming down hard and heavy. You make your way into the castle to keep dry. You make your way towards the exhibition that shows many barrels of gunpowder when you notice a man dressed in period costume. He walks towards you and you quickly move out of the way. As quick as he appeared, he fades away in front of you. Welcome to Ghost Tales by the Fireside. I'm your host, Clem Dalloway, and this episode is about the historic Ealandonan Castle, which not only has a few ghosts, but is also home to some amazing myths and legends. But first of all, I'd like to introduce you to another podcast. Ghost Haunted with Molly is a new podcast which I came across last week. I had a listen to a few episodes and loved the way Molly tells the stories, which include the history and general information about the area surrounding the supernatural tales, which fill in the gaps that many leave out. This is a no-thrills podcast that gets straight to the point of the topic. Definitely worth a listen. Located in Kintail, in the western highlands of Scotland, and situated at the junction of three lochs, Loch Dwych, Loch Long, and Loch Alsh, Ealandonan Castle has seen many changes over the centuries, from expanding to cover the whole island to becoming a ruin for nearly 200 years. There are many myths and legends surrounding the island, and it is believed to be named after the Irish saint, Bishop Donan, who lived in the area around 580 AD, and that he was likely to have set up a small early Christian community during the 7th century. There is no archaeological evidence of a Christian settlement on the island, but there were findings of an Iron Age or early medieval fortification that may have been the remnants of a Pictish fort. Many churches around the area are dedicated to Saint Donan, so it is likely that he did settle in the area. There are two versions of the saint's death, one saying that he was burnt to death along with 150 followers by a Pictish queen, and another saying that he was attacked by pirates while saying Mass. He asked if he could finish Mass, and they let him. Once he had finished, they beheaded him. In an ancient Scottish myth, it was believed that if a baby had its first drink from the skull of a raven, they would have supernatural powers. There is a legend of how the castle of Ealandonan came to be. It started with a clan chief in the 13th century who tried the ritual on his only son to prove that it didn't work and that it was just an old superstition. Over a few years, the boy didn't show any supernatural traits until one day when he was seen talking to a large conspiracy of ravens, as if they were having a full conversation. This started to happen more often over the years, which the chief wasn't pleased about, and it caused their relationship to start falling apart. One day, the chief noticed the sound of the ravens coming from the great hall. This time, it was deafeningly loud. When he approached the great hall, he again witnessed his son talking to the ravens. This time, he asked him what they were saying. The now young man told his father that he wouldn't be pleased if he told him, but his father convinced him to tell him. The ravens were telling him of a prophecy that the chief would wait on his son as a servant in the great hall when he returns as a successful gentleman. In anger, the chief told his son to get out of the castle, and it was time for him to make his own way in life. The young man took a boat to France and heard that the French royal court was overrun by a huge collection of sparrows. He offered his services to the king and asked the sparrows to move on, in which they did. The story of the young man quickly spread around the nobility and wealthy all over Europe, which in return made him very successful and extremely rich. One day, he decided it was time to return to Scotland and to visit his father. When he entered his father's castle, the now old man didn't recognise his own son. The chief welcomed him in as a wealthy stranger and sat him down in the great hall and brought him wine and plenty of food, fulfilling the prophecy. Word travelled of the return of the chief's son, and he was soon summoned to the Scottish court by King Alexander, who told him to build a large impenetrable fortress on Eland Dunn. He did this, and he became the first chief of Clan Matheson. Another founding myth is that of the Otter King. Some historians believe that the island was nothing to do with St. Donan, but the name came from the Gaelic word Cúdon, which translates to brown dog or otter. Legends say that when the Otter King dies, his white and pure silver coat was buried on Eland Donan, and that's the spot where the keep of the castle was built. During the reign of Alexander II, between 1214 and 1249, the first castle was built on the small tidal island of Eland Donan as a defence from the invading Vikings, who had been raiding and settling in northern Scotland for 400 years. It became the stronghold of the Clan Mackenzie and the allies, the Clan Macrae. It's believed that the Mackenzie clan sheltered Robert the Bruce in the winter of 1306 to 1307, and the castle had no other involvement in the wars of Scottish independence. In 1331, the word was sent to the castle that the Earl of Moray, Thomas Randolph, was going to visit the castle. In response, 50 criminals were gathered and executed, and their heads put on display around the castle walls, to the approval of the Earl. In 1719, 46 Spanish soldiers were garrisoned at the castle in support of the Jacobites. They held 343 barrels of gunpowder and were awaiting the delivery of guns and cannons from Spain. The English heard of the planned uprising and sent three warships, which were heavily armed: the Worcester, the Flamborough, and the Enterprise. They attacked the castle over a three-day period, which didn't do too well, as some of the walls were 14 feet thick. The captain of the Enterprise sent his men in, who managed to defeat the Spanish soldiers. The remainder of the gunpowder was used to blow up the rest of the castle. The castle then stood as a ruin for around 200 years, until 1911, when Lieutenant Colonel John McCrae Gilstrap bought the island. He spent the next 20 years reconstructing the castle alongside a local stonemason, whom he appointed his clerk of works, Farquhar McCrae, in which they followed the surviving ground plan. After McCrae Gilstrap returned from World War I, Farquhar claimed that he'd had a vivid dream where he saw how the castle originally looked. McCrae Gilstrap agreed to the reconstruction, and the castle was completed in 1932. The bridge which connects the island to the mainland was completed in the same year. The castle has appeared in many films, including the 1986 film Highlander, that starred Christopher Lambert and Sean Connery. When the work started on rebuilding the castle, the ghost of a soldier was seen walking around, carrying his head under his arm. Many people have witnessed the apparition since, and they say that he looks like a Spanish soldier, maybe a victim from the 1719 invasion. He is mostly seen around the gift shop area and the area known as the exhibition, which is where the gunpowder display is today. People have also said that they've heard footsteps in the area, but when investigated, there is no one there. An American visitor to the castle in 2015 walked into the gift shop to find a gift for his parents. When he picked up a book and started to read the synopsis, he noticed someone slowly walking past from the corner of his eye. He didn't take much notice and carried on reading. He decided to buy the book, so he walked up to the counter to make the purchase. As he handed the money over to the assistant, he noticed the person who was walking slowly again. This time he looked over properly and realised that it was someone dressed as a soldier in period costume. He then asked the assistant if there was a special event on that day, and the assistant replied saying no. He then asked why there was a man dressed as a soldier in period costume. The assistant said that no one was in period costume. Moments later, the visitor was walking away into the exhibition. The soldier appeared again. This time, he was amongst other people. The visitor then shouted over to the shop assistant and pointed the soldier out. The shop assistant looked over and went white, as he could see the soldier too, just for a short moment before he disappeared. Gunshots, cannon fire, and loud rumbling noises have been heard in the Great Hall and the billeting room. When the noises have been heard, the light has been seen swinging as if affected by the vibrations of the cannon fire. In the 1980s, a group of schoolchildren who were visiting the castle were in the Great Hall when they started to feel the room rumbling as if there was an earthquake. The teacher started to gather the children together and take them outside, when they suddenly heard the sound of gunfire. The teacher panicked and made the children go back into the Great Hall. They didn't know what to do. Suddenly one of the guides calmed them down by explaining that it wasn't real gunfire. And so that they didn't scare the children, they told them that it was staff testing to see if the guns still worked. No one had fired any guns. The ghosts of two ladies have been seen in the bedrooms. One is believed to be Mary, Queen of Scots, although she is also known to haunt other locations. One of the lady ghosts mingles amongst the crowds of visitors and has then been seen disappearing. As recent as May this year, 2023, a couple from England was staying with friends in Scotland when they decided to visit Eel and Donnan. When the wife of the couple walked into the bedroom, she said that she felt cold and had a strange feeling. As they walked across the room, a woman just walked out in front of them as if they weren't even there. She walked about 3 meters and then disappeared as quick as she appeared. The wife of the couple suddenly felt warmth and more at ease, even though she was shocked. A world-famous legend that originates from Loch Dwych is that of the mythical Selkies, who are half seal and half human. They are able to leave the sea and take on the form of a human, female or male, in order to attract the young men or women by taking off their seal skin. But if they lose their skin, they are destined to spend the rest of their lives in human form on land. The legend tells of three fishermen who were brothers who lived on the shore of the loch. After a long day of fishing, they returned to the shore when they met three beautiful women. The brothers quickly fell in love with them. So that the brothers could claim them as their wives, they stole their seal skins and hid them. The Selkies were distraught, and the youngest of the brothers gave the seal skin back to the one who he fell in love with, as he couldn't see her looking so sad. She rewarded him by visiting him every 9 days. Before escaping back into the loch, the second Selkie found her skin under the bed. But the oldest brother burnt the seal skin of his love, but in doing this, burned her alive. Thank you for listening to Ghost Tales by the Fireside. And you can find more information about the episodes on the website ghosttales.co.uk. And there's a Facebook page, Ghost Tales Podcast, and also on Instagram, at Ghost Tales Podcast. This podcast will be out monthly and is available on most podcast platforms. All music, research, writing, production, art and sound effects are all my own work.